Your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. What's Doing in Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news and views from the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan as reported in the daily and weekly newspapers received in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. The 33rd annual Ionia Free Fair is history today. When the final skyrockets and aerial bombs exploded over the Midway last night, Ionia closed the book on the biggest and most successful show in the county's history. To give you some idea of the crowds that jammed the Ionia Fairgrounds, let's take a look at the Ionia Sentinel Standard. Last Sunday was setting up day. The fair wasn't even open yet, and still a crowd estimated at about 15,000 was on hand to watch the preparations. This was in spite of severe heat, which hit 94 degrees at midday. On Monday, over 40,000 persons watched the opening parade through downtown Ionia, the largest opening day crowd in history, according to the Sentinel Standard. And that parade, by the way, was an innovation this year and was so successful that it will be probably held again in 1950. Over 500 persons took part in it. The parade included everything from bands to ancient cars and beautiful girls. Wednesday was Governor's Day at the fair, and of course the guest of honor was Governor G. Menin Williams, who was probably the busiest man in Michigan that day. His honor hurried down from Mackinac Island to take part in the day's ceremonies, and then left immediately for Chicago to participate in the Michigan Day ceremonies at the Railroad Fair. Perhaps you may have heard Governor Williams over a WKZO broadcast last Wednesday at 5 o'clock. The attendance at the Ionia Fair is typical of the record-breaking throngs that have attended practically every summer celebration in Western Michigan. No longer is the good old summertime the time to relax and not go anywhere. During the summer months, residents of this area can find celebrations of one kind or another at a dozen or more different towns. County fairs are held at no less than 7 locations in Western Michigan. By the way, the only county in Michigan that doesn't sponsor a fair seems to be Berrien County. A youth fair is held at Berrien Springs each year, but no county fair is held in that corner of the state. It's not hard to see that the townspeople and country folk of Western Michigan don't suffer from a lack of summertime entertainment. There couldn't be a better indication of the prosperity of Western Michigan than the success of the exhibitions which feature the products of the farms and villages of the area which they represent. Speaking of festivals, the Queen of the Pawpaw Grape Festival is a pretty busy girl these days, even though the grape festival won't be held until late in September. Corrine Stearns, winner of the recent Queen Contest, listed among her recent activities a visit to Chicago to help represent Michigan at the Railroad Fair. Many other Michigan dignitaries were there Thursday to celebrate the occasion, including Governor Williams and Mayor Henry Ford of Kalamazoo. Athens is having its big homecoming this coming week, according to the Athens Times. The schedule of events is all set and ready to go. The celebration will get started on Thursday afternoon and will end on Saturday night. The big event on the three-day schedule will be the annual parade, to be held at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. Following the parade, an ox roast will be held, along with a baseball game and plenty of rides and concessions. Three Rivers held its four-day VJ Day celebration last week, and according to the Three Rivers commercial, it was a real success. We were down there yesterday with our WKZO microphone, and you may have heard the recording of the parade, which was held yesterday afternoon, and the broadcast over WKZO at 5 o'clock. This was the third year in a row that Three Rivers has held such an affair, and although everyone had a lot of fun, the event had its serious moments. A short memorial service was held at the scene of the celebration Saturday afternoon to remind those in attendance of the real meaning of VJ Day. There are more celebrations on tap in the near future. This coming weekend, we'll see the people of White Pigeon celebrate the 120th anniversary of the founding of that village. White Pigeon's event will get underway early Saturday morning and will end Sunday evening. One of the events on the schedule is a memorial service at the grave of Chief White Pigeon, for whom the town is named. There's a legend, you know, that tells that the chief ran all the way from Detroit to the village to warn the inhabitants of a coming Indian attack, and that he barely managed to gasp out the news of the impending attack before he died from exhaustion. Four young men will commemorate the famous run this week by tracing the route run by Chief White Pigeon. A baseball game will be played on each of the 2 days at White Pigeon for the benefit of sports fans, and two barbecues will be held each day. The climax of the White Pigeon celebration will be a huge community song fest and a big fireworks display on Saturday night. Coloma will also be the scene of a 2-day celebration this coming weekend. The annual Gladiolus Festival is scheduled for Saturday and Sunday at Coloma, says the Coloma Courier. Miss Lois Butler, a 17-year-old brunette, was chosen as queen of the festival in a contest last week, and she didn't waste any time getting started in official activities in connection with her new honor. On Thursday, the day after the contest, Lois went to Chicago to join those other Michiganders in the Railroad Fair celebration of Michigan Day. The Coloma Festival will get underway with a Queen's Ball on Wednesday night. This will be held at one of the large ballrooms on Pawpaw Lake, and officials expect a crowd of at least 2,000 persons at this event. On Sunday, in addition to the Gladiolus Festival, the annual Pawpaw Lakes Day will be observed. Yacht races and a model airplane contest are among the events scheduled for the lake area on Sunday. And now for some of the stories in the news, here's my colleague Harry Travis.
Well, law enforcement officials in Grand Haven had their troubles last week. Usually it's a case of not being able to find the man in order to put him in jail. According to the Grand Haven Tribune, it was the other way around at the Grand Haven jail last week. The officers couldn't get the man out of jail in order to bring him to trial. A Detroit man was lodged in the jail on a drunk driving charge, and when Sheriff Jerry Vanderbeek arrived to transfer him to court, he found the cells bolted so tightly it required 2 hours to open the door and release the prisoner. Speaking of jails, a Grand Rapids man found out that stealing marked money is a sure way to end up in jail in Newaygo County. The Newaygo Republican tells us of a filling station operator who became suspicious when money disappeared from the station. Lacking evidence for a complaint, the operator marked two $10 bills and put them back in the cash register. When the suspect left the station, he was apprehended by two deputies from the sheriff's department, and he had the two bills in his pocket. The man is now out on bail awaiting trial. Well, the annual Comedy of Errors in Pawpaw was held last Monday night, the occasion of the annual battle between the two old-timer softball teams at Tyler Field. The Pawpaw Courier-Northerner didn't label the affair as a softball contest, yet referred to the Battle of the Century as a flower show. The paper reported that the Northside Perennials met the Southside Annuals in their third annual flower show. At the end of 9 innings, the score was tied at 7-all, and the flower show was declared a draw. Among the players who cavorted on the field for the Northside squad were Petunia Dodge, Arbutus Cook, and while the Southsiders boasted such stars as Daffodil Smith, Gladiola Billsborough, and Pansy Hoger. Flower show or ball game, everyone had plenty of fun despite the errors and the aching muscles which were all too prevalent the next day. It wouldn't be idle chatter if Roger Brunzel of Holland was accused of violating the federal anti-monopoly laws. Roger entered the annual Holland City tennis tournament last week, and when the affair was all over, Roger had walked off with every honor in sight. He won the men's singles, the junior singles. He was one half of the winning combination in both junior and men's doubles events. The Holland Evening Sentinel reported that Roger took home enough tournament medal to start a mint. Now, back to Dr. Dunbar.
The people of Smyrna seem to have found the answer to inflation. Smyrna is a small community located near Belding and was featured in an article in the Belding Banner News last week. Last year, the community built $400 worth of playground equipment for less than $100. The method? Well, simply buy the materials wholesale and then have the whole town pitch in and help with the construction. The people of Smyrna applied the same method to the construction of a new basement for the local school. They've been talking about building that new basement for many months, but nothing was done about it. Now, with everyone lending a hand, it appears that the job will be done for about one-third the normal cost. At last report, the job was more than half done and should be finished in the near future. The cost is going to be about $800 as compared with the $3,000 that a commercial contractor figures it would take to do the job. Now for some of the news notes from here and there in Western Michigan. The Lowell Ledger gave the annual Showboat Exhibition a pat on the back last week. The Ledger printed a letter from Charles Seeger of Whitehall, a noted writer and producer of musical shows. Seeger hailed the Lowell affair as a fine exhibition and commented that the Lowell people have done a marvelous job on their annual celebration. The Galesburg Argus happily reported that the voters approved a new elementary school and farm shop in an election in that town last Monday. A bonding issue of $150,000 will be written to cover the cost, and an 11-mill tax levy was approved to pay for the bonds. Also from Galesburg, the news about the new Galesburg Memorial Library was featured in last week's issue of the Argus. It's expected that the library will be able to open about Labor Day, just in time for the opening of school this fall. The Nashville News annual vacation issue appeared last week. This is the issue that's printed in advance so that the staff members can take a week's vacation. This year's issue features a number of articles on Nashville history. One of the notes on history recalls that 75 years ago this week, the temperature hit 100 degrees in the shade in Nashville. Hundreds of persons watched as 20-year-old Edwin Williams fell to his death in a parishute jump at the Barry County Fair. Edwin's brother, Eugene, bailed out of the same airplane a few moments before, but his chute opened with no trouble. Eugene, suspended in midair, watched with horror as his brother's body hurtled earthward after the chute failed to open. The Hastings Banner stated that several thousand persons at the Barry County Fair watched this fatal fall. A prominent Holland businessman, Victor Watkins, was killed in an automobile accident near Petoskey last week. According to the Holland Evening Sentinel, Watkins had been a boat salesman in Holland for the past 12 years. Some of Allegan County's financial difficulties appear to have been solved, at least temporarily, according to the Allegan Gazette. The state government has approved a loan of $63,000 to the county in order to tide it over to the end of the fiscal year. The Gazette commented that it was evident that the county would have to borrow even more money before the desperate financial situation is straightened out. According to the Charlotte Republican Tribune, the people of Charlotte are taking a special interest in the activities of the Chicago Cubs these days. And the reason is not hard to seek. One of the town's favorite sons, Wayne Terwilliger, joined the Cubs a week ago and is off to a fine start on a major league career. Twig, you know, is a former Western Michigan college athlete who starred on Mal Goble's teams at Charlotte a few years ago. The farmers at Cedar Springs took a day off Thursday and enjoyed themselves, for that was the date of the annual Farmers' Day celebration at Cedar Springs. The farm people of the red flannel town spent the day at ball games, band concerts, parades, and other entertainments. The newspaper up there, the Cedar Springs Clipper, commented that when the affair was over Thursday night, there were a lot of people who could relax for the first time in many weeks, because it takes a lot of work to hold a Farmers' Day. One more item, the Tekonsha Patriot over in Calhoun County reports that the annual homecoming at Burlington in Calhoun County was a grand success. And now, here is your announcer with a word about the weather. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan. We'll be back next week at this same time with another transcribed roundup of the news of Western Michigan as reported by your hometown newspaper, The Air. Willis Dunbar speaking. This is the Fetzer Broadcasting Company.